but let's see if I can find another one.
Look, everything in Washington has been a lie. Weapons of mass destruction.
You want answers?
I want the truth! You can't handle the truth!
Release the Kraken!
3, 2, 1. Thunderbirds are go.
I'm CIA.
Spies. Bunch of bitchy little girls.
You take on the intelligence community, they have six ways from Sunday at getting back at you.
China is going to eat our lunch? Come on, man. I mean, they're not bad folks, but guess what? They're not competition for us. We have a higher deficit with China now than we did before. We have the highest trade deficit
China
with Mexico.
China ate your lunch. Down all right, 18%. China ate your lunch, Joe.
Last night I was on the phone for 2 straight hours with Xi Jinping, and we don't get moving. They're gonna eat our lunch.
The COVID-19 crisis has shown us that our old systems are not fit anymore for the 21st century. It has laid bare the fundamental lack of social cohesion, fairness, inclusion, and equality. In short, we need a great reset.
They want a world where everybody, no individual excluded, will be monitored and understood and control perfectly. Up until now, the occasional individual here and there in every generation can pop up and start saying that the king has no clothes in such a way that the public suddenly understand and the spell is broken and their intentions are diverted for a while. We can divert this big scheme. And you can only do it by knowing what's happening. Because if we don't, it's a horror show. Literally a horror show. This society they're bringing in, this global plantation with a reduced population, and if you really understood what they've already done to the public, to make them sick, for instance. Sick people make bad spouses, they're not good material for meeting up with someone. And they decided a long time ago that the population reduction programs, they take Africa down quickly, but with the West, because there's more power there and there's more communication, they'd have to do it slowly, and so they decided to put out all these diseases that would make people sick and the chronic fatigue and all the rest of it. And lo and behold, we had one thing after another hitting the general public out of nowhere that had all the lower doctors scratching their heads, Epstein-Barr virus and a whole bunch of things, which certainly did initially hit mainly the female population, and now it's coming into the male population too. Exactly as they said, they've been doing hellish things to the public because you can't tell the children what you're doing to them. We're treated like children. They can't come out and tell us. If they asked us all 20 years ago to start reducing the population and by starting with ourselves, well, no one would step forward and volunteer. So they do it. And that was the whole point of creating the Royal Institute for International Affairs, a parallel government, because it said that democracy and the bickering with politicians and, as I say, the irreconcilable factors amongst groups within society were just too different, too much at odds, and they were at loggerheads with each other. They could not get their big agenda through. Therefore, the parallel government would not be responsible to the public, and it could steamroll ahead and bring in their new world order. That's what's been happening.
The racist, sexist, homophobic, xenophobic, Islamophobic, you name it.
World War II. For the last 70 years, we've had a new world order. And that is now under severe stress, not only in Europe.
We have before us the opportunity to forge for ourselves and for future generations a new world order.
The affirmative task we have now is to actually create a new world order, because the global order is changing again.
After 1989, President Bush said, and it was a phrase that I often use myself, that we needed a new world order.
It's an incredible window of opportunity to lead in shaping a new world order for the 21st century.
This is a conspiracy against you, the American people, and we cannot let this happen or continue.
You know, they have a word. It sort of became old-fashioned. It's called a nationalist. And I say, really, we're not supposed to use that word. You know what I am? I'm a nationalist, okay? I'm a nationalist.
We have a choice. To remain passive, which would lead to the amplification of many of the trends we see today. Polarization, nationalism, racism, and ultimately increased social unrest and conflicts. But we have another choice. We can build a new social contract, particularly integrating the next generation. We can change our behavior to be in harmony with nature again. And we can make sure that the technologies of the fourth industrial revolution are best utilized to provide us with better lives.
I'm inclined to think that the scientific dictatorships of the future, and I think there are going to be scientific dictatorships in many parts of the world, will be probably a good deal nearer to the Brave New World pattern than to the 1984 pattern. They will be a good deal nearer, not because of any humanitarian qualms in the scientific dictators, but simply because the Brave New World pattern is probably a good deal more efficient than the other. That if you can get people to consent to the state of affairs in which they are living, the state of servitude, the state of being, well, it seems to me that the nature of the ultimate revolution with which we are now faced is precisely this, that we are in process of developing a whole series of techniques which will enable the controlling oligarchy, who have always existed and presumably always will exist, to get people actually to love their servitude. People can be made to enjoy a state of affairs which, by any decent standard, they ought not to enjoy. And these methods, I think, are a real refinement on the older methods of terror, because they combine methods of terror with methods of acceptance. Within the various other methods which one can think of, there is, for example, the pharmacological method. This was one of the things I talked about in Brave New World. And the result would be that, you can imagine a euphoric which would make people thoroughly happy even in the most abominable circumstances. I mean, these things are possible.
Fuck you! You fucking fuck!
We are living in a world which becomes more and more disintegrated. So we have a multipolar system now with two centers.
That humanity could not be trusted with its own freedom. What we did not realize was that if you try to take that freedom, they resist. The war taught us much. Humanity needed to surrender its freedom willingly. After the war, SHIELD was founded, and I was recruited. The new Hydra grew. A beautiful parasite inside SHIELD. For 70 years, Hydra has been secretly feeding crisis, reaping war. And when history did not cooperate, history was changed.
That's impossible. SHIELD would have stopped you.
Accidents will happen. Hydra created a world so chaotic that humanity is finally ready to sacrifice its freedom to gain its security. Once the purification process is complete, Hydra's new world order will arise.
If you don't believe in the eye for the eye, you do.
No.
I know you well enough. I think you do. But anyway,
tell me, I mean, you're going to get even with some people.
If given the opportunity, I will get even with some people that were disloyal to me. I mean, I had a group of people that were disloyal.
But how do you define disloyal?
Corrupt
establishment knows.
that we are a great threat to their criminal enterprise. They know that if we win, their power is gone, and it's returned to you, the people. Will be. The dark clouds hanging over our government can be lifted and replaced with a bright future. But it all depends on whether we let the corrupt media decide our future, or whether we let the American people decide how such crimes against our nation are capable of anything. For them, it's a war. And for them, nothing at all is out of bounds. This is a struggle for the survival of our nation, believe me. And this will be our last chance
to protect the integrity of our very important 2020 election. If you count the legal votes, I easily win. If you count the illegal votes, they can try to steal the election from us.
It is obvious that behind the midst of the most severe crisis the world has experienced since World War II. 75 years ago, countries and people came together to shape the post-war global order, which brought us decades of peace, increased global cooperation and prosperity to hundreds of millions of people around the world. Now is the historical moment, the time, not only to fight severe virus, but to shape the system for the need for the post-corona era.
Eat your goddamn ass, you son of a bitch. You piece of shit. You fucking goddamn fucker. Listen, fuckhead, you have fucking crossed the line. Get that through your goddamn fucking head. Stop pushing your shit. You're the people that have fucked this country over and gang-raped the shit out of it and lost an election. So stop shooting your mouth off.
That lion gets up and tears the shit out of everybody. Runs like the wind. Eats everything in his path. Because every once in a while, the lion has to show the jackals who he is.
I am your voice. Join me in taking back our country and creating a bright, glorious, and prosperous new future for our people. We will make America great again.
I am the storm.
I like Rex a lot.
He's here. Rex is here.
He's here. Do you want him to stay in his job?
Thank you very much, everybody. Thank you.
Rex is here. It's a beautiful spring day in the swamp on this Palm Sunday. For those of us on the older calendar, had to throw the show together at the last minute because Trog has gone into a crypto chasm and I just realized that next Sunday will be Easter for me, so therefore I'm not doing a show. Oh, Rex, you're barely doing any shows anymore at all. Yeah, well, that's true. There's really not that much to talk about. I mean, there's a lot going on, and there would be a lot to talk about, except for the fact that none of what we're talking about is what's going on. So it's kind of nonsense and a waste of time, and frankly, Trog and I have better things to do. But doesn't change the fact that for all appearances, all intents and purposes, as far as we know, we've lost a lot of battles. But the war persists, and we are at war! From a collective national perspective, we live in the insanity for which we asked. America is a free country. We freely chose this. Even if we were misled, manipulated, and had an election stolen from us, we asked for it, and now we wallow in it. Are you going to Jerusalem cry, snowflake, whine, and oh my goodness, what's happened? Or are you going to do something about it? Grow the fuck up. What happened is you abused your freedom for most of your life, and abuse of freedom is a terrible crime. This punishment is just. Whining about it is not a strategy. Whining is never a strategy. Winning is. Nobody ever said winning would be easy. In fact, winning is the hardest thing to do. But if you can draw breath, never surrender. Never surrender. Never surrender. What are we talking about?
Oh, the Chauvin case, George Floyd, Biden's moronic, bumbling, stuttering idiocy, and Kamala's selling her book illegally, and Sean Hannity is still stuttering on Fox News, and Don Gino and Geraldo are, you know, getting in an argument, and blah, 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 blah. Nonsense and bullshit. That's all that this is. And then you got Trump. Hey, great. Fucking Donald J. Trump. Still love the guy. Still think he did more for us than anybody. And I don't count him out, and he's not done. But, Mr. President, if you or anybody who talks to you is listening to this, you really got to shut your fucking mouth about these fucking so-called vaccines. I'm getting sick of you being an apologist for Big Pharma, touting your Operation Warp Speed, biological warfare bullshit every fucking chance you get to be on a television channel like any of them, but especially Fox News. It's becoming tedious. You're alienating a lot of people who would otherwise be fully in support of you. And frankly, it's not doing you any help, and it's nonsense. If you've given up to protect your family, then just go away. But if you're still fighting, shut up about these fucking experimental biologics that are likely to do more damage than the COVID Wu flu ever did. So we're going to do this show. I have no idea what's going to happen. I suspect that with Trog, we're going to be talking about trucks and cryptocurrency. But in any event, most of everything out here is nonsense and bullshit. There's definitely still glimpses of things going on sub rosa, clandestinely, that we can't put our fingers on. We can only speculate about. It is true that to date, crazy, stuttering, dotard Joe Biden, Beijing Biden, has flown on the 747 that is customarily used by the President of the United States and as Air Force One. But the military has never designated that flight as Air Force One. There is more military aerial reconnaissance activity going on over CONUS and actually large parts of the world than I've ever seen before. So things are definitely happening. It looks like some kind of devolution military activity, probably under NORTHCOM, not involving the woke Secretary of Defense. But who's in charge of that? We don't know. And that's the difficult part. We don't know. And all of us have been conditioned to be uncomfortable in not knowing. Well, fact of the matter is we've hardly ever really known. Most everything that passes for news, culture, entertainment, religion, relationships, discussion, conversation, discourse in this country has been, for a long time, bullshit. And as my illustrious co-host says, all this bullshit is bullshit.
And what happens is that there are certain presuppositions that you've been conditioned to accept that form your paradigm, your worldview, with which you measure everything you receive against, and they are failing you dramatically. And that makes you afraid. It confuses you. I find it frustrating, but I'm learning to be comfortable in my frustration. So the truth of the matter is that you don't know, and you got to be okay with that, and you've got to act irrespective of not knowing. Most things in which you believe and consider to be truth and fact are and have been, in fact, artifacts fabricated in the minds of men, often men with diabolical intentions. The truth is far more interesting and consequential, and the things with which we distract ourselves are simply simulations, simulacrums. Human beings, because we're fragile, and we know that death stalks all of us, tend to be driven by fear and greed and lust, and we permit and enable our disordered passions to drive our weakened will. There's only one way out of this, and it ain't easy. If you want to win, it ain't easy. It's the hardest thing you can possibly ever undertake. A superhuman effort is required to break through the bullshit. When I am weak, I am strong, because I cannot do. But he who is can do all things. It is in him and him alone that I hope to live. All else is death. There's only one name that every knee must bow, in heaven, on earth, and under the earth. His name is Jesus, the Christ of God, the incarnate second person of the eternal blessed Trinity, Father and Son and Holy Spirit. That's it. Now, you can get passively engaged in religiosity, especially at this time of year, most sacred time on the Christian calendar. But that won't really help you, because what entered the world when our first father turned away from God was death. And death is the ultimate evil. The murderer and liar from the beginning is a diabolical agent that induced man to the fall. And because of death, we fear. And because of fear, we fail. And you have to overcome that. And the only way to overcome that is with Jesus Christ. Not with any earthly prince, not with any twisted philosophy, especially if it has a Christian veneer to it. You can only overcome death by he who conquered death on the cross. And remember how fickle you are. Hosannas on Palm Sunday, not even 1 week later on Great and Holy Friday, crucify him. And if you can't admit to yourself and to God that you do that every single day of your life, you will never transcend yourself. You will never become who you are made to be, and you will always fail. Our national mess, the chaos in which we find ourselves, the lies, the deceit, as Klaus Schwab's Great Reset is being put forward under the watchful eye of the head of the New World Order, Xi Jinping and his puppet in your White House that you won for President Trump, and they stole it from you, and for whatever reason, so far we've allowed them to get away with it, has got you locked down, wearing a mask, jabbing yourself with experimental biologics because you're afraid that some invisible virus might take your life. If your life was worth anything, you wouldn't worry about it, because your life is in the hands of Jesus, and it is in him and him alone that you will live. What you do here, what you do now, will be called to judgment, and you are finally called out of this existence. It's crazy out there, and it's so much nonsense, but we can't disengage, because there are things going on that need to be fought for. Would it have been better to do it in 4 years? Yes. Well, it's going to take us a shitload longer than that. Donald Trump had a phenomenal first term. It ended after 3 years in March of 2020. January 6th, final betrayal of the stolen election, and on January 20th, he was gone. Those are the facts. What are you going to do about them? You have to work hard to fix the integrity of the election at the local level. And there are many people that are working hard on that. Right now you have an audit in Arizona that is going to be absolutely devastating, and then you need to force the Republicans to correct the system. If you correct the system in enough states by 2022, the Republican Party, which is becoming more and more MAGA and nationalist every day, will sweep out the Democrats and take the House and the Senate. And based on the precedents that the Democrats themselves have set, it will be time to destroy Joe Biden and his whore long before 2024 ever comes about. Because if you permit them to use the COVID threat and the climate threat and the extraterrestrial biological entities threat to reset this planet, you will never recover. This is your last chance to fix it. And to fix it, you have to be aggressive. You have to be nonstop. You have to pick up your club and smash the crap out of all of the apparatchiks and snowflakes.
Chris! Chris! Chris!
I'm busy!
I'm busy, you stupid dick!
Crush your enemies, see them driven before you, and they hear the lamentation of your women.
Caveman!
All right, Captain Caveman, we've taken some hits. We're bleeding. We've been knocked down. We've lost some good men. The war still rages. Do we curl up into the fetal position and cry like bitches, or do we get up and swing clubs at every fucking loser Republican who caused this to happen?
I'm going to go fishing. I don't know about the rest of you fuckers. You know, it's interesting what you just said. We've taken some hits. I didn't take any hits. I've never changed my position. Nobody's taken me down. Nobody's changed the way I think or what I believe in. Who's taken the hits are the assholes that call themselves Republicans. And they really haven't taken the hits yet because a lot of those bastards are still in power. Hopefully, between now and 2022, Trump puts together a team of people and gets rid of them and ousts them. My big concern is that, how do I say this? Anybody remember the Tea Party wave? Remember the 60-some seats we won? And then after they all got in power, there was like maybe five of them in the Tea Party coalition that stuck with it and fought the good fight, you know, for the next umpteen years. That's my concern. There's something inherently, genetically, DNA-oriented wrong with the Republicans. I don't know if it's because they have an elephant for a mascot. Maybe it should be a mouse. I'm not sure about that. But that's the problem. We've done hundreds and hundreds of shows on the Republican Party. Now, I have not opened an article for 2 weeks. I have not listened to Bannon or Jones or anybody for 2 weeks. I've been really busy. And you know what? It's been awesome. Because I would guarantee you that I could probably dive in, start clicking on articles and listen to people talk, and I know exactly what they're talking about. Now, that's scary. Because if the dialogue hasn't changed, then we're doing the same thing again. Now, one thing about the Democrats, and I've said this before, and communists and socialists and Satanists, is they fight to win. I don't know, how do you boil it down to any of a simpler concept than that? We don't want to win. Now, maybe some of us did, and I kind of thought we had somebody that was going to get it done, but you and I were both sounding the alarm, COVID. We weren't really sounding the alarm real bad, but I was really concerned when that bullshit, especially the second, slow the spread bullshit. That day, it was over. And that was just the beginning of the end. That was like, you know, the little Dutch boy got his finger in the dike. It ain't going to work. They had their plan set in motion, and they had all their little Republican whores, all lined up to help them steal the election. And and here we sit. You know, I that's my big concern. You know, I what's Trump doing? Beat shit out of me. I mean, I can imagine what he's doing. He's interviewing people. He's building his team. He's blah, 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 and he's surrounded by Republicans. That's my big concern. They are the biggest bunch of worthless pieces of crap I've ever observed as a body party in my life. And they haven't changed, and I don't know if they will change. I don't know what it's going to take to clear them out. I don't know if the American people understand what it's going to take to get rid of. Now, there's a lot of people filling those precinct positions. Good. They're working at the grassroots, at the local level. They're getting the power in, you know, and people got woke up. You know, they'd stand around cheering Trump on. And when they took him out, you had no plan. You know, you thought Trump, you know, and he did win it, but they stole it. It was the biggest mass crime I've ever experienced in my life. It's like back in the days of the mob in Chicago. Everybody was corrupt. Judges, police, you know, everybody during the Prohibition days and the gangsters and all that shit. Should study that. You know, it was a shithole, and it still is. They throw one in prison every year. Politician, that is. The whole thing is corrupt. You know, and honestly, that was one of my biggest concerns early on, was who he was surrounding himself with, Trump, in those early days. I was worried about it, but I just, you know, he was making moves. Things were moving forward. He seemed to have control of it right up until they stabbed him in the back, like Caesar in the Senate. So, you know, we've already ranted and raved about this. Multiple times. That's why people go, you're barely doing a show. What do you want me to tell you? I mean, the same thing. You want me to rant and rave? I've been pretty peace of mind the last couple of weeks. Busy doing other stuff, you know. Come back and talk about politics. Holy crap. And it's not a political problem, folks. It's not. It's a spiritual problem. That's something we've covered for 9 years. We just don't drive it's not a religious show, you know, it's a secular show with some strong underpinnings of belief structures in it, which allows us to cuss and rant and rave because it's a secular show. But what are you going to do, people? I know that everybody's, I don't know. I'll tell you what you shouldn't be doing. Spend 8-10 hours a day on the damn computer looking for answers out there. They're not out there. those chat rooms, the people all trying to corral the Republicans behind the cause. You know, yeah, sure, you know, I'll donate and vote. But I'm a Missourian now. I don't trust any of you fuckers. You got to show me. You know? How many times in the last 9 years of shows that we have done where we have had to expose the backstabbing ways of the Republican Party through Obama, through Trump? That's 8, 9, 10, 11, 12 years. We've done 9 of them. Romney, McCain, McConnell, Ryan, and his buddy McCarthy, who's still in there in power, just itching to get in there and start paying back everybody that's been propping him up and donating him for the last 10, 15 years as a politician. It ain't going to work like that, people. They're already chomping at the bit. The people, you know, Biden got up and said, well, we're going to do a 43.5% capital gains tax. He's already destroyed. I mean, it took less than 3 months for them to destroy everything Trump had built in 3 years, shutting down pipelines, shutting down this, shutting down that, opening the border. Companies already, you know, that Trump had got to come back to America and build plants already moving out. I mean, the reversal is mind-boggling. I mean,
someone
actually could reverse
that.
It pretty.
Someone said they could reverse what he's doing. Someone mentioned on the radio that they could reverse what Trump has done in 3 years. Inside of a couple of months, it'll be so fast people won't believe it. But I don't know if anybody listened.
Yeah, well, people hear, but do they listen? But do they really hear? You know, because a lot of it was executive order, because the freaking Republicans and Mitch McConnell wouldn't get the job done, and Ryan, when he was in there, you know, they screwed up health care, the tax. I don't know how many people even know this, but the tax bill, that incredible tax bill, it rolls back in a couple of years, folks. What is it, 2025? Is that when it rolls back, Rick?
I think 2026. The sunset provision is January 1st of 2026.
Mm-hmm. So if you still have a Democrat in office, And you have the House and Senate by the Republicans, it's still going to roll back because there ain't no bill going to be passed. So you better start planning ahead because you're going to be paying more taxes. Yeah, Paul Ryan, he's a slick one, isn't he? He's a slick one. Romney's butt buddy. I remember that. That's when I got involved in national politics, Romney and Paul Ryan. I was like, oh, my God. I mean, I didn't really know that much about him. I'm just like, really? Just listen to him talk. Look at who they are. Look at who they're affiliated with. Look at Romney's, how he's made his money. You know, vulture capitalist destroying people's jobs. Yeah, rah, rah, go Republican, vote Romney. You know. And they tried to make Paul Ryan cool, Eddie Munster. And then Joe Biden just wiped his ass in the debate. Joe Biden, a brain-dead fool, a corrupt human being in every cell in his body, made Ryan look stupid in the debate. And I'm like going, wow, this is going to be fun. Gee, do I get to vote? Rah-rah. GOP.
Well, you know, if you hold something near and dear and you want, and it's, well, anyway, you know, the thing,
you know, the thing.
That guy defeated Paul Ryan. How pathetic is that?
Sniff, 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 sniff. Oh, little girl, they love to rub my legs. The hair on my legs. Are you freaking kidding me? How far have we fallen? And here's really the telltale sign, just like with everybody still wearing masks, is how far have we fallen? I don't know. You're submitting to bullshit, you know, and you don't know how to fight it. And so you don't fight it. So you just submit. And it's the same thing. You know, they just stole an election, the biggest crime in my lifetime, huge multi-state, federal, local, you know, election committees. I mean, this was a crime of magnificent proportions.
And no, everybody's just like, oh, okay, what next? What do we do now? I don't know. What are you going to do now?
Well, one thing you can't do is stop wearing your fucking masks.
Yeah, well. Yeah.
I don't wear it. I don't wear it anywhere. And I give attitude every time anybody asks me about it.
What was that meme that you posted? The guy said, I have
CFS
syndrome.
Yes. Yeah. Common fucking sense.
Common fucking sense syndrome. I told that to the guy.
If somebody that is in an establishment says, sir, do you have a mask? I look at him and I say, I have CFS syndrome. I don't wear a mask. And they've never asked what CFS syndrome is. They just let me go about doing my thing.
It's such a joke. We as a people are such a joke. Yeah. You get ready for that great reset.
They've got their double vaccine, right? And they're wearing a fucking mask. So which is it? Does the vaccine not work? And that's why you're wearing a mask? Even though the mask doesn't actually protect you from COVID? How stupid can... Now, here's the thing. This is the crazy part, right?
The fact
None
that
of
they
it
got
makes
away
sense.
With it and people accepted it is what is insane about it.
Bingo, right? All of these rules are intentionally illogical, irrational, unscientific, and contradictory to see how much bullshit you'll put up with to keep your little privileges. Not rights, privileges. You have no rights. All this nonsense about rights, you have no rights. You have privileges granted to you by your masters. And your masters are not the U.S. government. Your masters are global oligarchs that use the government, non-government organizations, non-state actors, and transnational corporations to control you, and you allow it. You will suffer the evil you are willing to tolerate. You will suffer the evil you are willing to tolerate. That's how pathetic this all is. Everybody runs around, oh, I have to go to the bank, so I have to wear a mask. Bullshit. I need to wear a mask because I have to vaccinate my kids and put them in a mask so they can go to school. Why are you fighting hard to send your kids to a school that's going to turn them into your enemy? That doesn't make any sense. The only one with balls that I've seen recently is that Polish pastor of that church in Canada who keeps telling the Gestapo Nazis to get out of his church. Everybody else is cowering and giving in and bowing to the masters and gods of the New World Order. It's pathetic. As long as you're willing to put up with it, they will give you more and more and more of it. And I think the point, Chris, that we've made for 9 years, that people might listen to but not necessarily hear, there is no coming New World Order. If you haven't by now figured out that the New World Order is already here and turnkey tyranny is at their fingertips at any moment that they want, and the only thing preventing them from doing it is that they fear you. And their whole point is to cower you into fearing them because they're afraid of you. And as long as you act like a slave, you will be treated like a slave. That simple. It's that simple. And what do we tell everybody? I mean, you know, we've been accused by everybody from the beginning, by the way, from like July 2015. We've been accused of being President Trump shills. Well, how could you not enjoy the ride? President Trump was larger than life. He was magnificent. He was fantastic. He did a great job for 3 years. But we told you.
Against all odds.
Yeah, but we told you back then, President Trump is not your savior, and he's not going to fix the fundamental problem. He's merely a weapon in a longer program. Now we're on our knees because he took a hit and he fell. What are you going to do about it? You going to wear a mask? You going to get a vaccine? You going to whine and cry like a bitch? are you going to get up and fight? The only reason this country hasn't fallen, the only reason this country has not fallen, is because too many of us that believe in the American principles outlined in the Declaration of Independence have too many fucking guns and too much ammo, which has gotten ridiculously expensive. And that's the only reason. And that's why they're killing people all over the place in the streets and blaming the guns. That's why. If they get the guns, it's over so fast you won't know what happened. I don't know if people realize that. I wonder sometimes.
Well, you could study history. It's the first thing they all did. That's what the Romans did. They took the weapons. I mean, it's just over and over and over again. The first thing you got to do when you're a occupying army is you've got to reduce the threat. Now, you can't kill everybody because you need worker bees and people, you know, the economy. When you conquer a land, you still need the population, but you've got to reduce the threat. So you go after the weapons. It was swords, it was bows and arrows, it was, you know, I mean, you got a whole history of this shit. You know, you look at what Stalin did, you look at what Hitler did, you look at what they did in Europe, you look at what they did everywhere. You know, the first thing they convinced them, you got to give up your guns because it too many people are dying and you need to be a good democracy because we're all safe now and we're past those era, that era. And then people went, okay. And then they found themselves in hell. Every freaking time. You can say a lot about good, bad, and ugly about our founding fathers, but they did understand that point. They understood that, you know, British tried to take the weapons, you know, tried to take the powder, cut off supplies because they were the, you know, the supplier to the colonies. But the colonists were just some feisty sons of bitches, you know, and they fought back and they coalesced. And that's what all totalitarian rulers fear. They fear the people they want to rule. And if you do it well, I mean, Soviet Union was what at its zenith was 500-600 million people, if you count all the territory they had occupied. That's pretty a good chunk of money. China, that's 1.3 billion people under totalitarian control. Europe is a soft communism. That's about the same size as us. If you look at most, you know, all of Europe, very similar demographics, and they're just falling. They're just falling apart.
Did you see the Brits in London? The Brits in London rose up and had a massive anti-COVID lockdown parade with no mask. It was fantastic.
No, I miss that.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, they grew
good for them.
Pair of testicles. Yeah.
For how long?
I mean, it lasted for a few hours.
No, I'm saying how long will they hold those testicles? Because the people that rose up.
Yeah,
what's that?
Hanging your balls out in the street is not a very British thing to do. That's far more of an American and Australian thing.
Yeah, and Polish thing it seems.
Yeah, I mean the thing about the empire or what they call these days the Commonwealth, which is the same fucking thing, is that the colonies here were different than most other colonies that the British had because they were populated
they were
by people
citizens.
That were willing to get up, take a dangerous ocean voyage, and come into the wilderness to forge their way. And in Australia, it was a penal colony, so you're already populating it with rebels and criminals. So that's why Australia and America have a slightly different attitude than, say, India.
Yeah.
Or South Africa.
Yeah. That's a good point. That's an excellent point. Yep. I'm going fishing. Take my bow. Crawl out in the woods. stick my head up every once in a while, see how you guys are doing. Because, I mean, it really boils down to you can follow the news every day, you can listen to people talk every day, and all they're going to do is just throw the fear and anxiety at you. And you got to ask yourself how much, you know, we went through 8 years of that with a blowjob. You know, you want to do that again to yourself? You got to protect yourself, people. Take a little break, you know, and do the things that you know you can do. That is like get down and become a precinct committee person, you know, and get involved. I mean, it still blows me away that half, 200,000 seats were vacant while we had a Trump presidency, which shows you we were hoping, us little people down here, were waiting for Trump to fix it all. 200,000 key political seats that determine who the politicians are, who gets the support, who's going to move up through the chain, you know, through the chain from local to state to federal, you know, key to our process, our democratic process in this country.
Oh, yes and no.
Empty.
Yeah, yes and no. I mean, I think that that's a worthwhile effort. We should definitely do that. But the fact of the matter is that what people conceive of as political parties is these big monsters that field the candidates for all the seats, that control all the policies. It's really kind of a mirage, right? That's why 200,000 seats were vacant. Because the fact of the matter is that it isn't a grassroots thing. It's a top-down thing. It always has been. And part of the myth of participation, really part of the myth of democratic representation, is that somehow disjointed individuals can use the democratic process to select the direction that their country will go. It's really never been the case in America. It really never has been.
It's always been an oligarchy here.
Yeah, and it upsets us because it offends our sensibilities and what we believe about ourselves. But that's the thing. You have to learn to accept the world as it is, not as you wish that it were. Even if you factor in that you can get a few seats here and there, I mean, every once in a while you'll get a David Brat, you'll get a Marjorie Taylor Greene, right? You'll get a Donald Trump probably once in a lifetime. But even that is not enough because the cultural current is really what decides things. So, for example, the simple fact that the NFL, down 50%, sure, but the simple fact that they can still run a multi-billion-dollar business shows you how weak people are. The fact that Fox News is down almost 50% of viewership still shows you that half the people are watching that crap and buying their bullshit. And, you know, you hear stuff
that's
like,
why all that money's being printed, Rex.
I wonder why.
Keep them alive.
Yeah, I wonder why Fox News isn't covering the Arizona audit. Really? You fucking moron? Why would you wonder why Fox News, who called Arizona like 2 seconds after Arizona closed.
Don't forget the midterms, what they polled.
Why would you think that they would cover it? Yeah, exactly. So, and the other thing is that you think that somehow because you're a free American, a rugged individual forging your own way in liberty, that you somehow control that destiny. You really don't. And you never have and you never will because the fact of the matter is you're a very small part of a far more complex system. And that's how humanity has been from the beginning, right? Someone sets the rules and you react to them. Period. That's how it works. And someone always sets the rules. Now, there are some rules that have been set for your own good. We often refer to those as the Ten Commandments. If you love me, you'll keep my commandments.
Yeah, and those are the ones that we pulled off our walls in our schoolrooms and our courthouses and can't be spoken about. Think about that.
Right. Those are the ones that we make into optional rules, the ones that aren't optional. They're commandments. They're not, you know, the Ten Suggestions of God. They're the Ten Commandments. And then we create all of these man-made positive rules that are designed to manage you in a way that gets you to take an experimental biologic because you're afraid of an invisible enemy that was manufactured in a Chinese weapons lab using American technology furnished by Bill Gates and Tony Fauci.
Dr. Fauci. Hey, I got a question. When do you think they're going to release the next virus?
What makes you think they haven't already?
I don't know.
I mean, remember, the stuff that we're dealing with now was developed years and decades ago. Remember, look, if you just go back and watch news clips, movies, and headlines over the last 40 years, you will see the preparation for everything that they're doing now. It's all there.
Hell, watch the sci-fi movies.
Well, the sci-fi movies are all predictive programming. I mean, think about it. Who are the authors of the sci-fi books? Number one, they're not scientific. Number two, they're not really fiction. That's the trick about sci-fi, right? Sci-fi is not really scientific, and it is not really fiction. It is unscientific in the sense that it's incoherent and makes no sense, and it's not fiction because it's actually predictive programming of ongoing plans. You just heard in that opening clip, Aldous Huxley, and if you know anything about the pedigree of that family, you know how connected they are. And it all goes back to these family bloodlines of these connected oligarch families. If you don't know about the connection between, say, the Darwin family and the Huxley family, you might miss some fine points. But the fact of the matter is, it's all a con job to get you to believe certain things, and if your presuppositions are wrong, your conclusions will without a doubt be wrong. I think I mentioned it last time, briefly, and I think Butch has been talking about this as well, probably because he's trying to slog through the same fucking book. Let me find it. Paul and Philip D. Collins, Invoking the Beyond, The Kantian Rift, Mythologized Menaces, and the Quest for the New Man. I think they've done a couple of interviews. I think they did one recently, well, recently, in the past few months with Jay Dyer. There's a couple others. Just look them up if you want. This book is, well, it's expensive. It's like $50. Second of all, no table of contents. There's no index. And it is 1,111 pages long. There's no spaces between the paragraphs. The footnotes are not footnotes. The footnotes are actually in the text, which is a nightmare. And I've managed to slog my way through to page 760. And it's a fantastic book, but it's kind of a torture to read it. But they get into all this stuff. All the science fiction, for the most part, is elite deviancy projecting what their plans are for you, and also predictive programming to get you to accept the reality which they are forging. And this has always been the operating system for magicians. And that's what this is. It's hard for you in your concretized, modern, you know, scientistic rationale, especially with your Marxite thinking, to really perceive this. But these people are literally casting spells on you to warp your perceptions and make you believe things that are utterly untrue as facts. That seems like a stretch, and a lot of you are probably going to have difficulty swallowing that, but it's absolutely true. Aldous Huxley's Brave New World, written in 1932, is far more accurate about the world in which we live today than any historical book you can read. He got more right because he knew what they were planning on doing, and he projected it out. Right down to even the adrenochrome, which he specifically mentions. Oh, it's a myth, blah, blah, blah. Bullshit, it's not a myth. He was talking about it in 1932. Alpha, beta, gamma, delta, whatever the fuck, you know, categories they have. You're already in those categories. That's how they pit you against each other based on classes and groups. to keep you divided so that you don't ever unite and rise up against the oligarchs. It's almost insurmountable. And so it's easy to be cynical and check out, or to imbibe on the hopium and assume there's some kind of magic plan to do the heavy lifting. And what Trog just said, and I'm going to throw it back to you, what Trog just said about unplugging and doing something you can do or going fishing. Sometimes you've got to extract yourself from this nonsense. Detach from the things that you care about in order to get that perspective of reality. And time is short, and that's what you really have to understand. Death stalks all of us. It is the deciding factor in this world. And you're going to die sooner than later. When are you going to take your head out of your ass? Because if you don't do it before you die, you're screwed forever. I'm saying this to you as if, you know, I'm good at doing that. I'm not. I suck at it, okay? I'm a terrible Christian. But here's the difference. I know I suck at it, and I get up and do it again the next day anyway. What are you doing? What are you believing? And what nonsense are you spreading? Do we want to believe that there is some clandestine plan that was put in place before Trump left, some kind of government continuation plan, and that somehow he's going to come back and fix things? That'd be great. I wouldn't count on it, but that'd be great. I also wouldn't count Trump out. He's not the kind of guy that can walk away. But we also don't know what kind of pressure they brought against him. We know he's a germaphobe. We know he loves his family. Maybe he realized at some point, you know what? This is important, and I did it. I gave it my all. But nobody helped me. In fact, those closest to me were working against me. Was it because they were naive, like, say, oh, I don't know, Jared? Or was it because they were put there to screw him over like Cipollone? I don't know. But maybe he just said, you know what, fuck it. I'm going to take care of my family and forget this thing. Or maybe he's realized these people are so evil, I really want to destroy them. We don't know. So how are you going to make the next step if you don't know? Are you just going to pretend that the next election matters even though the last one didn't? Or are you going to actually do something to shore up the integrity of the voting system? These are good questions. And it's a difficult, uncharted territory to be in. But you got to find your courage. And if you think that the courage comes from within you, in the way you're right and in the way you're wrong, it's not going to come from within you by you. It's going to come from within you only by the grace of God. And that's not a passive thing. God calls you combat. So I don't know, Trog. I don't know if people are going to wake up. I don't know if the Republican Party is going to become a America First Party. I don't know if Trump is going to make a comeback. I do know that these shells of these parties, these structures that field candidates, are private clubs that are managed by certain operators, and everybody else is just a rah-rah-rah participant. And fixing a party is not going to fix your country. Using a party's structure to put people in place that are going to fix your country is one part of the equation. But what about all those shares of public companies that you own? Don't tell me you don't. I don't even care if you bought one of these, retirement 2030 fund of funds inside your 401k. You own shares in 500 of the largest public corporations in America. When was the last time you even thought about buying the shares directly and voting the board of directors and the CEO? Or do you just leave that up to the powers that be? When was the last time you organized people to make a conscious choice about which products and which companies you will patronize, too convenient to use Amazon? One-off boycotts don't work, but you need to really organize. When was the last time you thought, hey, you know what? I might not agree with everything Andrew Torba says. I might not agree with everything Mike Lindell says. In fact, they don't agree with each other. But maybe I'm going to support both of them because they're talking about establishing an alternate economy for Christian Americans who aren't going to feed this corporate beast that has more control over you than the IRS, the Federal Reserve, and the FBI. Or are we just going to try to get back to where we were before? I just want everything to be the way it was when Reagan was president, and I thought Trump was going to do that. Is that what you were thinking? Is that what you were going for? If that's the case, you're way late. You're useless. What are people going to do, Trug? What are they going to do?
I don't know. They're going to log onto social media and discuss it. Read 100 articles, post 100 articles, watch 100 videos, post 100 videos. Bring your hands, ooh and ah, about every article that comes out, conservative media. You know, I was already burning out on conservative media because, and most of the talking heads or the content creators because, you know, I just had this gut feeling that, you know, you're going to, they're going to all roll right in into that same old, we got to take back the House, we got to take back the Senate, we got to focus on 2024, you know. Oh, look at all the illegals. Look at all the drugs coming across the land. Oh, the Democrats are evil. Oh, Joe Biden did this. Joe Biden did that. Kamala Harris did this. Kamala Harris did that. Blah, 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 blah. You know, it was like, I don't know, man. You did that for 8 years of Obama. You didn't have enough of that shit. Their job, most of them, is to corral you, so that you will be happy little donating, door-knocking voters in 2022 for the system. The question you have to ask yourself is, who the hell are you voting for? I remember a guy knocking on my door once, and it was just some, you know, local committee, like something to do with the harbor. Don't even ask me what. But, you know, he was a Republican, and I looked at him, and, he blah, 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 and I said, well, let me ask you a question. Why are you in politics? That was way before I ever got involved in politics, because even back then, lawyers, politicians, bankers, actors, I had zero respect for them. You know, I just thought, you know, these people coming from a free enterprise background, those people, I just didn't have a lot of respect for them. And I remember asking that, and it was real interesting because it really caught him off guard, because what they do is they get you caught up in the issues, your hot issues about this and about that and about the other. And, oh, yeah, and I'll fix that and I'll fix this. And, yeah, I stand for this. And, you know, and then the bullshit goes on and on and on and on. I mean, it's like what I remember when Midge, what's her name? Bay City Midge or whatever her name is. She's on Bannon's show a lot. Went in there and her and a bunch of, you know, rebel rousers went in and got a bunch of positions in that precinct in Florida in that district. And she showed the videos of it. And I'm like looking at the people all sitting at the head table going, who are these people? What do they stand for? What do they do? Why are they there? Most of them are like retired, got the blue hair going, you know, in their position of authority and, you know, and sour looks on their face because, you know, they're at the tail end of their life and they haven't really done shit with it, you know, and so they got themselves into some position that, you know, that has a title. You know, it's like, why are you here? You know, that's one of the big challenges of living in a big country with a lot of systems is because we get comfortable with the systems. And we trust the systems to take care of shit for us. And then when those systems backfire or screw you or are turned on you, then you ooh and ah and hand-wringing and oh, can you believe that and this, that, and the other. And we go right into that defensive reactionary mode. And we're so good at it, at falling into that reactionary mode. We're programmed, Rex. It's like you said a long time ago, and it literally was one of the most profound things you ever said. We are all Marxized.
And here's a funny little example, because I'm such a stinking rebel, always have been, independent to the ridiculous core. So I had to run down to the office supply store. And when I go in, one of the things I always notice people doing is they always want to jam up front where it's close to the doors. I've never wanted to jam up front, because then that puts you in where you get your car scratched. If something happens, you're caught in a crowded area. I always think, I'm kind of a defensive, offensive type thinker. And so, like, I drive, and I look, and I'm looking for a parking space as we're rolling. You know, it's a bunch of stores. It's kind of a, you know, like, you got your Cornerstone, Best Buy, Home Depot, Costco, blah, blah, blah. And Office Max or Depot, whatever they call themselves today, because they merged. And they're down at the end of this one strip of buildings. And I'm pulling in. And the first thing I do is I look around, and I'm looking for a place that has a good exit, has clear I have room around my vehicle, so I'm not up against other people. And there's like this little parking spot on the backside. And I look over there, and I go, there's my spot. And it's like wide open back there, and I'm watching like four or five cars in front of me pulling in, trying to get really close to the door. And where I parked was closer to the door than the places all these people were trying to get in the crowd, where the crowd parks. And I just I had somebody with me, and I said, check this shit out. Just and I explained. I go, look at this. And right where I parked was actually as close as anybody over there in the crowd. But we're so socially programmed to follow the masses and try to get the best position at the top of the shit pile or what the masses are doing. That's Marxized, people, programmed, you know? And I know it's a stupid little story, but, you know, I'm always analyzing shit in daily life because I try to think about all these greater conversations and thoughts and philosophies and pontification that we do, that it really boils down to who are you, what do you do with your time and energy and your money. It's like you said, where do you shop? And it's becoming more and more difficult in this day and age, you know, to not buy Chinese crap or stuff made in other foreign countries. That's more and more difficult. I watched that. I've bitched about that for years. And it's more and more difficult to support companies who aren't part of what just stole my fucking election, you know, that are part of that whole oppression system. If you go back to the 80s, there was this whole slew of sci-fis that came out, and I enjoyed the hell out of them, movies. And one of the things that every one of them, it wasn't government that was the evil overlord power. It was some meganopolis corporation that had gobbled up everything else, and the world was a shithole, and it was kind of almost a post-apocalypse. There was a whole slew of movies like this. Well, I'm thinking the one with what Sheen's little brother was in, Charlie Sheen, his little brother, Emilio Estevez. He was in one. I get that flashback, but there was a whole bunch of them back then.
Repo Man. If you haven't seen Repo Man, you're missing out.
Yeah, that was good too. With the British actor. Yeah, but you know, it's interesting because I remember when Gingrich, one of his packs, came out with that documentary back then that showed that, you know, Romney had put a lot of people out of work, and Newt got attacked for that, and it was god-awful truth, you know. And I remember that whole Republican mantra that we're pro-business, that we're pro-this, pro-that. I've never been pro-megacorporation, never, but I'm totally pro-free enterprise. But these megacorporations, I've always been wary of them my whole life. I've watched them go from the standard blue-chip corporations and then the small businesses of America. And then after the tech boom, it was just consolidate, chop up and spit out and consolidate until we are where we are today, where you might have through shell corporations and through subsidiaries and links to other corporate, you may have like
two handfuls of corporate structures that basically control 80% of the business around the world. It has been a mass, you know, accumulation of wealth, power, and assets. And I don't remember who I was listening to a video I was listening to recently where the guy, oh, man, I just lost my mind. I can't even tell you that because I just faded right out of my brain. Yeah, I don't remember, but it was a really key point, and I lost it. It'll come back to me someday.
Well,
so,
to some extent,
but,
to some extent
is,
what you're talking about has been going on like this. I mean, this is how this country was founded, by the Virginia Company, which was just American version of the East India Company.
Well, yeah, what about the Hudson, you know, all the fur trappers, traders, expansion, blah, blah, blah. Or what about the turn of the century and the mega barons, the railroad companies, the rock, all the people that we are still influence our society today? You know, they were seriously wealthy. You know, you had the big steel industry, you had the railroad companies, you had the, you know, those guys. And they basically
built the family fortunes before they instituted the income tax.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, I heard somebody talking about, you know, that, you know, they're going to try to, they're coming in high with this tax thing, and then, you know, to freak everybody out, and then they'll negotiate down from there. But, you know, one of the guys I was listening to, an economics guy, was saying that, you know, bottom line is the really rich and the wealthy people, they don't care because they always got a way to get around this shit. And they said something, and the guy said something that was really interesting. He said that all this money that's being printed, and it has filtered down to businesses, mostly businesses, and then they get that big chunk of that, you know, COVID relief money, and they can't do anything with it because it has all kinds of rules about how it can be spent, and you got to employ people, but how do you employ people because nobody's open and, you know, blah, blah, blah. So what they're doing is they're taking the money being printed that's being handed down to them because of the pandemic, and they're buying up assets. It never ends, Rex. It's just corrupt as hell, you know. And so I don't know how bad can they make it before we win back in the House and Senate? Pretty fucking bad. Look how bad they made it in the last, what is this, April, January 20th, March 20th. Oh, 3 months. Yeah, it's been a wild ride, hasn't it, folks? So let's see. We got, I'd say 9 and 12. We got 21 months to go before we could potentially win an election if they get some systems fixed so we can actually win an election. So
we're
going
to wait
until
the next election
is,
to do something about this. We're fucked.
I mean, you take what they've done in 3 months, you know, run that out, you know, multiply that out, add up to the power of whatever. Yeah, it could be really interesting the next couple of years. Hence, I'm going fishing. Nah. I mean, what the fuck
good.
Are you going to do?
We'll eat well tonight.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I admittedly, I haven't been watching or reading a lot, so I don't know. But, you know, Trump couldn't open his mouth without getting sued. He'd write an executive order. He would have a administrative, you know, this or that or whatever. Immediately, Democrats, boom, they'd sue him and drag him into court. Are the Republicans suing over any of these executive orders, Rex?
Who, Biden?
That Biden's done.
I think there's almost more than 60 now.
Yeah, they got 60 lawsuits climbing up through the courts right now. They sued Trump every time he looked sideways. Just to slow down his agenda. What are the Republicans doing? Anything? I know a few of them, you know, flew down to the border and looked all concerned and got in front of cameras.
Well, the Republicans are very good at putting on a show of resistance when they're not in power. That's what they like to do. But, yeah, the issue
it pays. It pays.
It pays. I mean, again, you know. Incentives, but the problem is far bigger than quote politics, and the idea that politics is some kind of compartmentalized section of our, you know, public life is insane. It's everything. It's all pervasive. I mean, think about it. Right? They lock down your churches. Is that politics? Because
you
fundamentally,
pick it.
fundamentally, a human being is a religious animal, fundamentally, right? Oh, no, I'm more spiritual than religious, or I'm an atheist,
well,
whatever.
That's why, Rex, that's why totalitarian states have state religion. Hello?
Well, again, we're fundamentally religious because it is your beliefs about things you cannot know through reason that form the fundamental presuppositions by which you build on everything else. The problem is most people are so Marxized in our modern world that they never, ever investigate the fundamental presuppositions, and therefore their pre-programmed paradigm works against them in all of their logical and rational decisions that are made beyond that. That's where it falls apart. If they can keep you out of your churches, politics isn't limited to elections or policy. And the idea that, you know, it's the corporations, no, it's the government, no, it's this, no, it's that, or favorite one of the libertarians, right? It's the Federal Reserve. If it wasn't the Federal Reserve, it'd be something else. The fundamental problem you have is that the currency with which you measure everything is issued at debt. And this whole concept of talking about tax rates, you have capital gains and inheritance and step-up and basis and income and short-term capital gains and all that, look at the presupposition. The presupposition is all of the money belongs to the cryptocracy, and they decide how much of it they permit you to keep. That's their view of it. And here's the thing. They're not wrong. That's how it works. And you're trying to eke out a little gain, right? But they can take that away from you at any moment. Any moment they can turn it off. What do you think the Great Reset is? They've told you what it is. There is no currency in the future if they get their way. There's no currency. There is digital social credit. You will not be able to leave your house without passing a digital screen. What if you're Alex Jones?
Minority Report.
Yeah. What if you're James O'Keefe, who, by the way, is suing CNN tomorrow? What if you're Butch Robinson or Rex or Trog? Might they just decide, you know what, we're going to turn off your chip. You can't leave your house. Oh, well, you know, I'll just order stuff and have it shipped in. Hey, you know what? We're going to cut off your internet connection. Well, I'll just have my neighbor pick up stuff for me. Well, we'll cut him off, too.
Welcome to the CCP, Communist China Party.
Mm-hmm.
Chinese Communist.
Pretty much.
They've slipped it right up your kazoo. I remember when Hong Kong, when they walked into Hong Kong and took it over, and nobody paid attention. And I remember on a show saying, you know what? That was so easy for them to do, and nobody did shit about it. Watch. And all the systems at the same time that they unveiled their social media, their social score system and their total surveillance state built by U.S. companies, who your tax dollars and retirement money support. And I remember that, and I'm going, it's coming here. It'll be just a little slightly different form, because we're really good at bowing down to technology because we're consumers. We're mass consumers in this country. And we want the newest, coolest, you know, technology. And I just remember talking about it, and nobody bit. And I'm like, well, whatever, I guess, you know, that bores everybody, so I'm not going to talk about it anymore. Yeah. And I watched it because, you know, when we've talked about this before, Rex, you know, you had the hard communists in Russia and China and, you know, Mao, and then, you know, Cambodia and whatever else, Vietnam, there's some pretty brutal punkers in there too. But, you know, these made really hard communism. Europe and the EU was a communist system.
Speak up now.
And we've talked about this on many shows, but Europe was a soft form of that was palatable
They had to get you to accept it. And so they manipulate it and change some words and slip it in on you, you know, and get the skiv of you just a different way that fits you. And I said it a long time ago, it's going to happen here. You just have to rethink it. What are your tolerance levels? We gave them everything by being on social media 24/7. They tracked everywhere we went, everything we liked, everything we didn't like, comments made. So they were able to compile that data and figure out just how far they could push you, i.e. COVID, mask, lockdowns. They had you figured out before you even reacted. We gave
them
that.
But then they swapped your ass.
We gave them that knowledge freely so they could figure out how they could pigeonhole us into what we're doing right now, how we're living right now. Yep. It'll be interesting to see how far they push and how far people push back. It's going to be an interesting couple of years.
Well, let's put it this way.
If you know what I mean.
Let's put it this way. Their system, the Great Reset, New World Order, all that stuff, it's a fantasy. It will never work. They'll never be able to do it.
Yeah, they always collapse on themselves, but boy, they can make you miserable until they collapse.
Bingo, exactly, right? Oh, Rex, you keep telling us we're already in the New World Order. Well, yeah, but what I'm saying is that it's not a sustainable model because its anthropology is incorrect, which means that it's tyrannical, it's genocidal, and it'll fail. It'll always fail. But if you're one of those genocided in the process, its failure really matters very little to you.
Well, let's put it this way. Their goal is to take how many billion out? So even if they fail, they're still going to kill a lot of people.
Well, what is it that Zbigniew Brzezinski said? In earlier times, it was easier to control a million people than to kill a million people. Now it is easier to kill a million people than to control a million people. What they're doing is they're putting in a system of control for those who choose and desire to be controlled. Because you can condition a human being, as Aldous Huxley said, we can condition people through pharmacological means to rather enjoy their slavery when they ought not to. But some of us will not be conditioned to enjoy our slavery. We will actually resist. What's the solution to that? They'll kill you.
Boom. You're dead.
They'll kill you. Now, if you're a Christian, and if you're not, I strongly suggest you figure it out pretty soon, because time is short. If you're a Christian, you're not afraid of dying. You also don't accept death. Okay? Let's be clear about it. Death is evil. Death is not supposed to happen. Right? Crime is death. That's why all of these movements, whatever you want to call them, leftism, progressivism, communism, modernism, Marxism, whatever the fuck you want to call them, whatever their current iteration is, are a death cult because death is the crime. Satan is a murderer from the beginning. And to sell death, you have to lie. And Satan is a liar. Death is evil. We don't accept it. We hate it. Now, is it inevitable? Yes. But our Lord, Good Friday, we nailed him to a tree, and he died. We murdered him, deicide. Now, you can't murder God unless God allows you to do so, and he did allow us to murder him. But on that third day, he rose again from the dead and conquered death. So we should not be afraid to suffer death if we get our house in order, which is the hard part, okay? But you have to realize that these people are a death cult. They will not hesitate to kill you. They enjoy it. Think about it right now. The number one human slaver in the world, probably in all of human history, is a dotard sitting in Trump's Oval Office. Children are being raped. Children are being murdered. Children are being...
human trafficking.
Yeah. He's the number one slaver in history. And if you tell a woke leftist, they'll freak out on you. Now, let's be clear. There's not that many woke leftists. There's not that many. But they do sit on corporate boards. They do control the media. They control entertainment. They control most of the government. And when I say government, I'm not talking about the elected offices that you see. We're talking about the permanent government that is hidden underneath the permanent bureaucracy. And they manage people's perceptions. But there's not that many of them. That's why they are afraid of you, because you're the majority. Now, the majority is kind of like the wishy-washy, squishy middle that goes this way and that way. And we know that the road to perdition is wide and easy, and the road to salvation is narrow and difficult. And few are those who come by it. But the fact of the matter is most people just squishes in the middle. Squishes in the middle that don't want to suffer too much, don't want too much effort. They just want a kind of a quiet...
Floaters versus navigators, you know, that whole concept.
Precisely.
Yep. Are you a floater, a turd just floating down the current on the way to be deposited the swampy delta into the river? Or are you a navigator that gets up and learns to use the tools and navigate yourself, you know, through that river? Yeah. Yeah. I don't know, man. I think it really boils down to... I know I interrupted you, sorry.
Really?
Were you saying anything important?
I doubt it.
I want to close and get the hell out of here, man. I got up at 3 o'clock.
That's cool. I didn't really want to do the show, but I really didn't want to do the show, but we haven't... we've only done one in the past 5 weeks, and I'm definitely not doing one next week. So I think so.
Cool.
I mean, look, there's not much to talk about because everything that there is to talk about, I mean, even if you're going to the good news sites, you know, Citizens Free Press, Revolver, Populist Press, there's not much to talk about because most of what we're talking about is bullshit and nonsense. You know, Derek Chauvin's trial. The only thing of any consequence, and we'll see how it plays out, is this Arizona audit.
They managed to delay again and again.
Oh, no, it's going on right now, and it's pretty serious. I mean, I've lost some of the footage, and I mean, they're using, you know, ultraviolet lights. They're checking out they're using Van Pulitzer's technology to validate whether a ballot is a real ballot or a fake ballot. I mean, it's a real audit. I think that that's a good thing. The question is, and this is what we don't know, okay, once it's done in 6 weeks, and we know for a fact that the McCainiacs of Maricopa stole the election for Beijing Biden away from Donald J. Trump, then what?
Do we get to see hangings? That's all I want to know.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Then what? So, you know.
Yeah, then what? Then what? Then what? Then what? Obama was an illegal president. Okay. He was there 8 years. Then what?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's that same old thing.
How much are you going to put up?
That's the challenge. Yeah, that's the challenge. And they keep pushing and pushing and pushing and pushing and pushing. And we keep giving back and backing up and backing up, backing up, backing up. And they can, that pendulum continue, or that ratchet, as Rex talks about, continues to ratchet left year after year, decade after decade. And look at us now. And so this is the part where I get frustrated is because, you know, I know all the talking points on the right. Been doing this shit for 9 years, folks. 9 years, folks, as Blozo used to say. Folks, you know, for 9 years, we've covered everything. Nothing new under the sun. The only thing left at this point in time is how people are going to react to the truth. Because I know how people reacted to the stolen election. They didn't do shit. And most people quit talking about it. I said it way back early on. I go, you watch how many people on the right will quit talking about this and start to corral you towards the midterm. I said, those are the people you do not want to follow. I think, and I thought this is not 100% sure, but besides us and Bobby Butch and Alex Jones and Bannon's War Room, I don't think anybody's talking about, and or of course, Lindell, you know, and he's doing something about it. He created a social media system. He's opening my store to go directly head-to-head against, you know, the corporations that have, you know, have been part of the woke machine and kicked his product off their shelves. He's going after building a, you know, a new Amazon. You know, that's the kind of guy that I could go, yeah, you know, because he talks, he gets mad, he gets hit, he gets up, and he fights back. That, to me, is a representation of what people on the right should be like. Unfortunately, most of them aren't. That's the problem. You know, where are the fighters? Where are the people still talking about the stolen election? You know, and say, well, you know, there's nothing we can do about it. So we just got to fight harder and vote harder next time. Oh, wow. That is so Republican of you. That's the part I get frustrated at.
That's
you know,
Schwab your ass.
You get, what did I have on the picture last time? When he, or, Dr. Seuss had been over. That was a Schwab. Oh, Schwab.
Charles,
I'm
Charles Schwab your ass. Or, sorry, not Charles Schwab. Charles Schwab your ass.
Yeah. Les Schwab Tire Center. Yeah, you know, that's the frustrating part. And you know, I'm not tired of fighting. I'll fight until I die. I don't care. But the challenge is who's fighting? You know, who's really fighting? Who's still fighting the good fight and who has already surrendered on the right? Most of them have already surrendered and adopted right into that typical Republican play. We'll do this, and then we'll get them next time. We'll do that, and then we'll get them next time. And then we get the House, well, we need the Senate. Then McConnell says, well, we need the presidency before we can do anything. And we're right back into that Republican cycle of we got to hurry up and win so we can hurry up and surrender because we do not want to run things. Trump wanted to run things. He is a mega man. You know, he is a business owner, an entrepreneur, a fighter. He wanted to get in there and actually do something. He was surrounded by a bunch of sons of bitches, corrupt bastards that didn't want to win, nor did they really want to be in power because they make just as much money without having the spotlight on them. And they're all really good at whining and talking about we'll get them next time. That is the Republican Party in my mind. And until you change that, that silence is the, you know, doing that with your hands where you kind of and until you change that, then it's just a crapshoot. We're just talking. Now, there's a lot of good people. I've seen a lot of good people that are getting up doing something, whether it's getting involved at the precinct level, running for office, blah, 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 this and that, you know. But, you know, if the masses cower down and accept the boot stomping on their head for eternity, then all those good people fighting and sacrificing everything they got are just sacrificing. And we can go, yeah, I think great. Are you supporting Lindell? Have you signed up on Frank's speech?
You know,
are you starting to really,
they're awesome.
Are you starting to think about, really think about where you spend your money? It's something I've talked about for 9 years, you know, but you know, I can be as careful as I can be, my wife and I, but that's just us. Yeah, we're a great example, but if nobody else fucking does it, then what have you changed? Nothing. They just keep consolidating more power and wealth. These corporations are now basically an arm, a Gestapo arm of the government. You know, Republicans, the party of business. Yeah, now that business is screwing you.
That's a Republican. Mitt Romney. I mean, think, that son of a bitch was our candidate. Think about that. McCain, our candidate. Think about that, as far as the party goes. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, I mean, come on.
I am the chosen one.
We've been taking it up the gazoo for a long time. We've put up, we've tolerated this to a point where they have us figured out. Become ungovernable. Become unfigureoutable. You know? I know it's not a word. I just made up a word. Hey, these techies, all these research I've been doing, Rex, and I got these databases built, these Excel spreadsheets and shit and all this crap I'm working on. I have added 500 new words to my my dictionary because these techies are making up words every day. Merging words, making up words, spelling them weird, you know, oh my God. Yeah, it's just crazy. So if they can make up words, I can make up words. Screw them.
All words are made up. There's no natural
some point,
word.
Right?
They're all made up.
No.
There's only one. There's really only one word.
That's a natural word.
Yeah, there's only one word. But most people never stop to think, you know, well, why do we even have words? Why do they mean anything? How do we communicate? What is language?
Social programming.
These things were made long before the world existed. Human beings have an ability to communicate through language that no other embodied creature has, because that's the way God made you. But we want to think that we're just an algorithm. We're just a biological animal with sophisticated capacities. It's not true. Sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt. It's just that you made up a good word. What did we say last week? I said, look, they treat you like you're dangerous. Why don't you behave like you're dangerous?
I agree. I 100% agree. I mean, I don't think any part of my nature or what I believe or what I think or how I feel about, you know, the real underlying problems of the world, nothing's changed in 9 years of doing a political show. You know, this stuff that the problem where we're at today has been coming for a long, long, long time. And it's a societal issue. You know, I had this flash while you were talking of, you had the World War One, yeah, World War Two, you had the Korean War, and the whole world was involved. It was big. A lot of death and destruction, a lot of millions and millions, and, you know, whole populations of whole countries involved in this war. They came home disciplined, winners, tough survivors, and immediately we had the Cultural Revolution. And they slipped it in on us, and they tore our the fiber of, you know, they talk about the greatest generation, the World War II generation, or my dad's, you know, generation. He was in the Korean War. They came home. They were, for the most part, hard-working, blue-collar, you know, and not just blue-collar. There were people of all stripes. It was a big war. But they came home. They were fairly strong Christians, family-oriented, love of country, you know, hardworking, self-reliant, personal accountability, all those basic principles that made this country great in the individual, not in the government, in the individual. And in the blink of an eye, unless in, I don't know, we started with the whole rock and roll and, you know, all that crap in the 50s, really, in the 50s. So that was right after the Korean War. And that whole generation, my parents' generation and the Second World War generation, they didn't see it coming. They couldn't understand it. They didn't know how to respond to it. And within
it was at this moment, 10
years,
he fucked up.
And within 10 years, our whole society had changed, and they were already digging out every core aspect of what made our society work. Because there's nothing wrong with society. There's nothing wrong with rules. There's nothing wrong with social order. There's nothing wrong with a little bit of programming, because you've got to hold your society together. But it's, what are those rules? What is that programming? You know, because any time, whether it's a family unit, to a community, to whatever, expanded out, that core unit has got to function together in a cooperative manner. Everybody's got to pull their own weight. Everybody's got to be considerate of each other, you know, blah, blah, blah. But there has to be some rules and authority. You know, it's all that Christian foundation. And
was
that
even,
had to be destroyed.
Yeah, even before
and it
that.
It started
I mean,
way before that.
Aristotle
that.
Said man is a political animal, meaning that man is a social,
yep.
rational animal. I mean, it's just patently obvious. And what you said is correct. You mentioned words, right? Let's talk about the word you used, programming. Some programming is okay. But, no, listen, programming is the language of information technology. Okay? That's what programming is. What we're actually talking about is a word most of us think has a pejorative connotation, even though actually it's a neutral word. The word is indoctrination. And indoctrination is necessary for human beings on a personal level and a social level. What is indoctrination? Well, that's from the Latin root for teaching. A doctrine is a teaching. An indoctrination is to convey that teaching. The question is, what is being conveyed? Is it the truth or is it a lie? Is it intended to make you more human or is it intended to dehumanize you? Those are the questions we no longer ask. Why? Chiefly because human beings have this wonderful gift that God gave us, Chris. And it's actually in the title of this show, Liberty. Liberty. It means a lot of things in different contexts, and it's overused and abused and degraded. But what does it mean? It means we can all choose. And no one can take that away from you. No one can take away your ability to choose. You're at liberty to choose. But if you don't have the right indoctrination, you're not equipped to use that gift of liberty to choose to be more human, and therefore you will voluntarily allow the principalities and powers of this present darkness to dehumanize you. A society, a nation state, cannot function without a unifying principle. Cultural diversity, inclusion, all of these things are detrimental to human social order. Human social order requires a unifying principle. And the powers that be are giving you your unifying principle, and it is through division, right, and then reunify it, right? Solve e coagula, dissolve and coagulate. What you just said, that they had to dissolve that Christian basis after World War II and Korea. That's the Gramsci idea, right? You got to dissolve that Christian basis so that you can recoagulate on a modernist Marxist model. And it was all, as we talked about in the beginning, right? Aldous Huxley wrote Brave New World in 1932. H.G. Wells was writing his shit in the late 19th century, including a book called The New World Order and The Shape of Things to Come, a science fiction book. Their unifying principle is part and parcel of this program to move towards the singularity or great reset of the transhumanist agenda, which is really just a fancy technological way of saying anti-human agenda. Anti-human.
How about the Tower of Babel, Rex?
Same thing, right? So think about it, right? You mentioned, you know, my nature. Well, guess what, Trog? Your nature and my nature and the nature of everybody listening to the show is exactly the same nature. There's one human nature. Yes, we're all individuated as persons with different traits and characteristics and talents and levels of intelligence and all this other stuff, right? And you know, in space, in time-space, we have our own unique location of embodiment, okay? But we have one nature. And that nature was liberated from the chains that we imposed upon ourselves by the superhuman, the ultimate human, in some ways the only human of which we are all made, Jesus, the Christ of God. If Jesus is not the unifying principle, your society is headed for a disintegrating cliff. And don't think that the powers that be that did this didn't have that as a plan. You mentioned World War I, World War II. Those are really the same war in two acts. And that was designed to eliminate certain connection with our past and build a new dialectic between the communist East and the capitalist West, the so-called free world. And they used that dialectic to reshape the planet, and their next tactic, right, was to collapse that dialectic into itself and then expand it globally under the guise of the Great War on Terror, because we removed it from the locus of the Soviet Union and shifted the dialectic into finding terrorists. We got to go get those evil dear terrorists over there so we don't have to fight them here. Remember? George Double Vagina
Bush. While they were bringing them in as refugees over here. Borders during Republicans.
I mean, let's if you look at the history of the Republican Party, the CIA, and the Bin Laden family, none of that would be a shocker, okay? But we got to get the terrorists. Well, the thing about terrorists is who says someone's a terrorist, and where are they? They're everywhere. So the war becomes completely pervasive. That war gave them the power
surveillance
the
state
authority they needed for that national security state, especially after the great event 101, where they toppled your two towers and crashed an invisible airplane into the accounting section of the Pentagon. That gave them the impetus to move into the next phase. The next phase is that they're going to take those powers to defend you against invisible enemies, pandemics, climate. Literally, the next war is going to be a war against the weather. And then they're going to bring you the next hoax, which is going to be the extraterrestrial embodied entities.
Cool.
And most people are going to fall for this nonsense because you've been indoctrinated into bullshit. You don't have a unifying principle, and in the West, it's impossible to have it. It really is, because think about it, right? What do you have here? You have a church established by God himself in first century Palestine. Pentecost happened in 33 AD in Jerusalem. Okay? That's the church. And that church went and conquered the world through a political entity known as the Roman Empire in both of its halves, the Latin West and the Greek-speaking East, both one Roman Empire. And that church, the Church of the Seven Councils, changed the world in a way that human hands could never do. But the cryptocracy, which has probably been around since the beginning, at least since Cain knocked off his brother, infiltrated the Western Wing. Round about the time of the so-called Renaissance, the rebirth. Think about the name, right? And that led to rebellion within that body. And that rebellion, which was chiefly enacted by an itinerant Roman Catholic Augustinian monk named Martin Luther, where the Pope, who fancies himself not only the Pontifex Maximus Universal Bishop of all of Christians, but he fancies himself the ruler of all of the princes of this world, said, this is just a problem with, you know, a monk. It's not a big deal, right? And what happened is Christianity in the West split. Now you've got 40,000 interpretations, some of them which subscribe to some kind of extraterrestrial gospel that dictates that Jesus Christ is some kind of extraterrestrial embodied entity as opposed to the second person of the Blessed Trinity and God himself. You can't unify Christians.
I want to know when I get my own planet, Rex.
Well, you know what? I think that Joseph Smith came up with that idea, but if you really think about it, didn't Muhammad come up with that idea before Joseph Smith by about 1,200 years? I mean, think about it, right? What did the Muslims go to Saudi Arabia on their Hajj and circumambulate around
there? A rock that came from outer space.
An outer space rock, right? And their religion is based on imperial dominance, rape, and plunder. It's very similar to the Kolob religion.
We got any pictures of Romney hanging out around that rock?
Yeah, exactly. And then, of course, the CIA appropriated Joseph Smith's idea, and some guy that lived across the river from me here in Chevy Chase, Maryland, came up with a new concept, right? His name is L. Ron Hubbard, and through his Dianetics, he was able to Scientologize everybody, especially through Hollywood, right? It's all the same nonsense. It's all the same nonsense, and it's just designed – what it is to keep you splitting, to keep you atomized, and to satisfy that religious impulse that every single human being has by nature – so that we can never have a unifying principle, and that unifying principle is the truth. So we're all running around like chickens without heads, working against, at cross purposes, against each other and ourselves, easily infiltrated and subverted. And here's where the failure of the President of the United States comes.
I am the chosen one.
Donald Trump is a larger-than-life personality, the ultimate showman, and a very competent, stable genius. But because of his size and magnitude and the movement which he grabbed, keep in mind something, Trump grabbed a movement and formed it in his image. But that movement was already coming. It's been coming for a long time, since probably the 80s, okay? Probably longer than that, but really since the 80s it started coming with Reaganism, which they appropriated, and then it led its way into the Tea Party and the Ron Paul Revolution, and ultimately coalesced in this massive movement, the America First movement, that Donald Trump rode into the White House. But because he's so big, it was easy to get wrapped up in the pomp and fanfare and forget about the heavy lifting that we all needed to do to prevent that thing from collapsing under its own weight. Well, guess what happened on January 6th, 2021? That movement collapsed under its own weight. But the people have never been more awake and never been more aware, not only of their power, but of the lies and deception that has been fomented on them, especially by the Republican Party, the conservative think tanks, and conservative media like Fox News. More people need to be disabused of that because human beings are naturally prone to inertia, so we want to stick with familiar and we don't want to go chasing waterfalls we don't know. But that's what needs to be done.
Change. You mean I have to change?
You don't have a fucking choice. Yeah, so quit whining, Cupcake, and it's time to fight. This is precisely why Zbigniew Brzezinski – I'm going to throw it to you for the close. This is precisely why Zbigniew Brzezinski said, because the political masses are more politically awake than ever, it is important for the controlling oligarchy, presumably, the scientistic dictatorship, the cryptocracy, to employ the means they need, whereby in earlier times it was easier to control a million people than to kill a million people, but today it is easier to kill a million people than control a million people. And that singularity, that great reset, that transhumanist nightmare to which we are heading at an increasingly dangerous pace – won't last, but it'll murder billions and collapse under its own weight into a desolation like you have never witnessed. And if you're not doing something to prevent that from happening with every fiber of your being at every moment of your life, and that does, by the way, include what Trog talked about earlier. Sometimes you just have to go fishing or you will become useless. But you need to be engaged in that battle, and you need to unite, and you need to fight together with common purpose. Or we're all fucked.
Aaron. Yeah, you know, even as incredible as Patton was, they took breaks, folks. They rethought their strategies. They restructured. You got to refuel. You got to retool. You got to re-ammo. You got to replace the broken and dead men. You know, sometimes you just got to take a break, you know. Hey, here's an interesting challenge over this next week. See if you can shut off the fucking computer and the TV and get away from politics for, I don't know, try a day and see if you can do it. Try three. You might like it. You know, if you don't rejuvenate for the coming battle, it's just going to roll over the top of you because you ain't going to be ready. You know, it's just like training, combat training, wilderness, whatever. You got to be tuned up. That means you got to work out. You got to break your system down. You got to make yourself stronger. You got to fuel yourself. You got to rest. You know, you train differently for a fight than you do normal training to stay in shape. You know, there's a lot of science behind that. You want to get technical, you know, it's very technical. And you know, understanding that as a human being, I mean, when you deal with any kind of extreme athletes of any kind, athletics of any kind, that you have to realize that, you know, win or lose can be a thought. You know, you can just have the wrong mindset going into a fight and you lose. Or you can have the right mindset going into a fight you should have lost and win. I mean, that's why everybody loved the Rocky movies, right? You know? So, I don't know. That's just a challenge to people. I know it did me a lot of good. Just to get away, shut it off, 100% shut it off. I haven't read an article. I haven't watched a video. I haven't listened to anybody. I haven't talked politics except around economic things for a couple of weeks. And you know what? It was good because I've been talking this shit for 9 years and we still got our ass handed to us. So, you know, I don't feel defeated. I don't feel like I did anything wrong per se. You know, a lot of it, we were not in control of. We were just talking about what was happening and what we thought was happening and trying to be predictive, you know, in many ways. So, but it really comes back to that thing that I've always known in my gut. It's a fucking Republican, stupid. You cannot defeat an enemy if the people on your side are traitors. Now, what's going to be done about that? What Trump's going to do about that? You know, what the political system, you know, inside the system of the Republican Party is going to do about that? I know Rona McDaniel's still up there, isn't she? Romney's niece, still head of the frickin' party. I'd have fired every one of their asses. You know, we knew this steal was coming. Bannon had people on his shows 3 months before they pulled off this coup, talking about exactly how they were going to do it, who even went to the White House and laid it out. And they did it anyway, and now we don't talk about it anymore. Wow. That's all I can say about that. Wow. Wow. The great independent, free enterprise, godly, Christian, independent, self-sufficient people on the right couldn't roll over fast enough. That is what bothers me. What Biden's doing, I mean, Biden ain't doing nothing. I mean, come on, he's eating Gerber baby food, sniffing little girls' hair. He's nothing. He's a puppet. But his whoever that administration is doing, none of it surprises me. I knew exactly what they were going to do, and they did exactly what I thought they were going to do. They just basically reinstated the Obama agenda. And Obama's agenda wasn't Obama's agenda, folks.
Everybody on the right, Obama this, Obama that, Obama the other, Obama. Obama had no power. He was a puppet. You know? He was selected, he was put in place, and he was a mouthpiece. And he golfed and let his husband diddle him. He was a puppet. It's the people behind the curtain. Almost all the people, and I haven't paid that much attention to it because why? But almost all the people they put back in power are the same freaking people that were there during Obama. So, you know, and one of the things that we did learn under the Trump administration, which was a good thing to really get exposed to people, was all of the people who were hampering Trump that came into the administration to fill those roles. And when we learn more about people in the administration, I think, than we have under any presidency, because there was so much focus on Trump. And every one of them had been in and out of politics multiple times, been under this guy, under that guy, under the other guy, under the other guy, and, you know, Reagan administration. And, you know, and so you begin that whole concept of that permanent political class, you know, the shadow government. These are all the permanent people that run this country. And these politicians come in and they go, if you want it, you know, welcome. And here's the agenda and here's the role you're going to play and here's how you're going to do and here's how you're going to vote. And here's the positions we'll give you. And you got to raise this much money. And if you want, it's like Matt Gaetz talked about, you want to get on this committee, you got to come up with $200,000 in donations and blah, 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 blah. And then they just put everybody in a position, and then they tell them what to do. And then they go out and they spew some bullshit about what they believe and talking points and, you know, get everybody all riled up and get them ready to vote again. Yeah, that system has been in place for a very long time, and there's a lot of people in that system are really old and crusty, and they've been in those positions for a long time. And they all played their roles perfectly, like our attorney general or the head of the FBI, or the head of the National Security Council, all those fuckers. They're just all part of that permanent class, you know? And they fought Trump every step of the way. I mean, I will give him credit. I believe he believed in his agenda. I believe he gave it everything he had. I believe he tried to communicate it directly to the people while he was taking the hits. But at the last moment, when he needed those Republicans to stand behind him and us as the voters, the Republicans fucked us again. Never forget that. Now, I'm not saying that doesn't mean you shouldn't vote or you should do that. I'm just saying never forget that. And if you ever get an opportunity and somebody's out there trying to climb their way up to the party and they knock on your door, you're a committee member, and somebody's up there does a little freaking, you know, two-minute hat speech, you know, you need to get them off the side and go, why are you here? Why did you get involved in politics versus going out and starting your own business or doing this or doing that? What drives you? What's important to you? Who are you as a person? Because if that person that's making that decision, just like those 62 people that in that wave, that Tea Party wave, if they're liars and thieves and phonies, then when they get in power, they're washed up in less than 2 years and cut right into their position and their role under Paul Ryan or Bainhead. Remember that piece of shit? The Speaker of the House, a freaking flaming drunk, a Republican? Are you kidding me? I mean, how much more abuse are we going to take in this party? Because, you know, right now, unless you have a war, a great war across the world or a revolution inside the country, we're still inside this dialectic. We're still stuck in this system, you know? And you don't want to ever give up. But, boy, you better start asking different questions, having different expectations, and come in with your eyes wide open this time. You know, because there's a hell of a battle coming ahead, folks. I don't know exactly what it is. It kind of has some, I've had a lot of thoughts over the last couple of weeks, you know, trying to play it out of my mind, where this is going, what it means, You know, what's the breaking point? You know, like Rex says, the Great Reset is destined to fail, but boy, it can get really shitty on the way to failure. You know, Soviet Union lasted 70 years. Communist China is still going strong because we funded it and gave them our technology and our weapons technology. Isn't that cool? Rah, rah, USA, go, go, go. A lot of suffering out there in the world. And, of course, you know, that as a Christian, you understand that concept. But it doesn't have to be this way. It can be better. Is it going to be perfect on Earth? Nope, never. But it doesn't have to be like it is. Do not accept the bullshit. There you go. There's another frog saying. And with that, that's my close. We'll see you guys in 2 weeks.
You mean that liberal yuppie bullshit about a good fight? This isn't fucking Yale. A good fight is one you win.
There is no substitute for winning. And as far as peace on Earth, yeah, we'll have it eventually. But not on this side of the veil. See, there's there's something called an eschaton. And it is the end. And at the end, everything will be sifted, and everything will be recapitulated, and there will be a new heaven and a new earth. Question is, where will you end up? I think I put this out earlier this week on Facebook. Well, John Rolfe did, because Rex is still in prison for another 7 days. And I probably put it on my Gab. Well, by the way, follow me on Gab. Because I'm going to keep posting on Facebook, but I'm getting pretty close to the point where they're just going to remove me. I'm not going to close my account. I'm going to keep shoving the truth in their face. But it is only a matter of time before, just like Twitter, all my accounts will be gone. So I can't remember what it is on Frank's speech, but follow me on Gab, Rex_Christie on Gab. But if you give a shit about any of the psyop news that they've put out there for your consumption, you really need to start living your life. And like my illustrious co-host just said, sometimes you got to go fishing. The only justice in this world is the just God. Sadly, most of us have no idea what that means. Unfortunately, we are all going to find out very soon exactly what that means. I rely on God's mercy because his justice scares the crap out of me. And it should scare the crap out of you. They say that fear of the Lord is the beginning of all wisdom. And that's true. Right? And what does mercy mean, right? Does it mean being simply forgiven for all the things I've done wrong? No, that's a part of it. But God's mercy is the only reason I'm still alive, because I don't deserve it. And I don't deserve an opportunity to be with him. None of us do. We screwed up. I rely on his mercy because it's the only thing I know that's going to get me out of the hole that I've dug for myself. And that's true for you. And you really need to remind yourself, your God, all the time. Jesus Christ, Son of God, have mercy on me, a sinner. Now, I'm a sinner and a fool and a foul-mouthed, selfish prick. But I come on here with a caveman to try to give you a little dose of truth. And sometimes, by God's grace, that happens. We're about to go into the shit, and that's not even hyperbolic, okay? It's about to get a shitload worse than you can possibly imagine. Battles have been lost. Big battles have been lost. Many battles have been won, too, and things are happening that are positive, especially the awareness of more Americans than ever, illusion of, quote, democratic republic in which we find ourselves. We got to capitalize on this. You got to keep pushing. And that means that you have to tolerate fools. Okay? What do I mean by that? Well, you got to tolerate the fools on this show, otherwise you wouldn't listen to it. You should check out Butch Robinson's channel. That's Bond Robin on Rumble. Follow him on Gab as well. Bannon's War Room, despite Bannon lately aggravating me, is still the best show, even though sometimes he fills it with fluff, to watch, because that's where breaking news actually breaks. Okay, Bannon's War Room. It's 2 hours every morning, 1 hour at night, and then 2 hours on Sunday. And despite all of his flaws, InfoWars. Say what you will about Alex Jones. Two things. He's entertaining. And most of the shit that he's been talking about for 25 years is true, has happened. None of you can deny it anymore. And support. Support. Right now, Bannon is being sued by the Department of Justice, I think, for selling a false COVID cure. Really, they're just going after him for offering vitamin D and zinc, which is pretty much what Alex Jones does, and Alex Jones supplements are also good. And Mike Lindell's sheets are fucking fantastic, and his pillows are great, and that mattress topper will change your life. Put your money where your mouth is. You're not going to have it for much longer, and your money is debt. Put your money where your mouth is. Yes, you should always be prudent and save some for a rainy day, but I hate to tell you this. Saving money for a rainy day when Noah is telling you get in the ark because it's going to fucking rain for 40 days and the world's going to be flooded, saving your money for that rainy day didn't help shit. Get in the ark. So you really need to understand where things are going, that they're worse than they've ever been, and they're going to get worse than that. So get your heads out of your asses, because we live here too. Donald Trump is not finished. Now, is he constrained because he's been defeated in fear of his family, or is he going to become the glorious bastard we all love?
I am the chosen one.
And come back with a vengeance. I'm putting my money on he comes back with a vengeance, but I'm not hitching my life to what he does, and neither should you. But we need to work together in concert around unifying principles, and we need to defeat this enemy. This isn't simply about taking our country back so that we can have an easy time and more stuff and less taxes than we are about to experience under the Zhao Biden administration. This is about liberating ourselves from diabolical servants of Satan that control all the high places, banking, entertainment, industry, corporations, government, think tanks, non-government, non-state actors, all of it. And it is a non-stop battle. You can't avoid it. You're either going to be a victim of it or a challenger to it. I'm going to read the first point in step one of St. Climacus's The Ladder of Divine Ascent, and you need to really build upon this. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Our God and King is good, ultra good, and all good. It is best to begin with God in writing to the servants of God. Of the rational beings created by him and honored with the dignity of free will, some are his friends. Others are his true servants. Some are worthless. Some are completely estranged from God. And others, though feeble creatures, are equally his opponents. By friends of God, dear and holy Father, we simple people mean, properly speaking, those intellectual and incorporeal beings which surround God. By true servants of God, we mean all those who tirelessly and unremittingly do and have done his will. By worthless servants, we mean those who think of themselves as having been granted baptism, but have not faithfully kept the vows they made to God. By those estranged from God and alienated from him, we mean those who are unbelievers or heretics. Finally, the enemies of God are those who have not only evaded and rejected the Lord's commandment themselves, but who also wage bitter war on those who are fulfilling it. Take it from me, a worthless servant of God. Your enemy, the enemies of God, are waging ceaseless battle against you. They are a cult. They are servants of Satan. Their God, no matter what they tell you, whether it's atheism, agnosticism, space aliens, Muhammad, Joseph Smith, whatever, their God is Lucifer. The first rebel, the first liberal, the first revolutionary, and he doesn't sleep and prowls around seeking souls to devour. And if you're not careful, yours might be his food. Get your heads out of your asses. Time is short. This is a spiritual battle, but we are embodied creatures, and this battle takes place in the four dimensions of space in which we find ourselves. And every second counts. Make it glorious. Make it great. Do not shirk the battle. Revel in it. It is your only chance to become excellent, to become who you were made to be by the creator of everything, who is one triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, from ages unto ages. Amen. For those of you on the new calendar, I hope you're enjoying your Easter. For the rest of us who are on the old calendar, have a happy, healthy, holy week, and have a great and holy Easter. I want you to remember that human beings are fickle. All of us are. Hosannas on Palm Sunday became cries, crucify him, on Friday. The great and holy Friday on which the people, through a psyop, willingly chose Barabbas over Jesus, the Christ of God, was the darkest day in human history. We committed the ultimate crime, deicide, and for that we all deserve annihilation, but we won't get it. But just remember that your merciful God, who is terrible and terrifying, allowed you to kill him and hid from you for a day. But on that third day, he rose gloriously, transfigured and glorified, and offered you eternity. Good Friday comes on the calendar every year before Easter Sunday, day of the resurrection of our Lord, and our hope and our salvation. Keep that foremost in your mind. Think smart. Be practical. Politics is war, and we are at war. Enjoy it. Fight to the death. Thank the Lord. And we will win. And we will win. And we will win. This is Rex and Trog signing off.
Shut off your TV and computer for a couple of days. Go fishing. Get rejuvenated. Amen. And the thunder of liberty rumbles on.
Yeah! Thunder!
happening to us, China, everyone. They're killing us on trade. If I'm elected president, we will win, and we will win, and we will win. Thank you. Thank you very much.
Mr. Trump, thank you.